God, right now, take this full spirit, take this joy that we have here. God, we're asking your spirit to totally wrap your arms around our guests this morning, squeeze them tight, and let them know that we love them, but nothing like you love them. God, just stick your arms right underneath our members, and you just lift them up and draw them near to you. And God, as we preach this morning, may we preach your word. May these things teach us something about our lives this week. Teach us one good thing. In Jesus' name, amen. So right at the end of the story about the rich young ruler, all right, Jesus makes this statement. As the man goes away sad because, and I said this, because he had great wealth. Something was in the way. And we start talking about that. Something was in the way. And we have to examine ourselves to find out what that is. And then God makes this statement. He says, I tell you the truth, it is easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, you guys, you know, and I know, that's not possible, all right? That neither you nor me, nor a small feline, much less a camel, is going through the eye of a needle. Here's what you need to understand. The eye of a needle is a phrase that they used in the Middle East, all right, to describe something that appeared in the desert. The eye of a needle was like a large archway, all right, that appeared. And what would happen over time is as the wind would blow through, it would cut a hole through this thing. So we're not talking about the eye of a needle, but we are talking about what could be like this, or sometimes the size of a small human being, all right? But rarely, if ever, would you get a camel that you were riding on to be able to go through it. It was nearly impossible. Not 100% impossible, but nearly impossible. And that's the reference Jesus is making here. He's saying, it's easier for a camel to go through that than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And here's what it's talking about, folks. Here's what it's talking about. Do we have anybody in the room, you don't have to raise your hands, who's tried to quit smoking? Okay? Some people, very few, but some people can just decide one day that they're done, and that's it. But they are few and far between. If it was that easy, we wouldn't have the patch. We wouldn't have e-cigs. We wouldn't have all of these programs and pills to try to help us quit smoking. Let me make it a little easier. Anybody ever been on a diet? If you could just decide one day, I'm only skinny. And it was that simple, all right? But it is easier, all right, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a person who loves food to get thin. Because you have to make a choice. Y'all with me? You choose eat what you want or be thin. You can't have both. All right? Now, some people can eat what they want and still be thin. But not many. And once you hit 40, some of them can't. Trust me, I know. Y'all have put 15 pounds on me since I got here. Alright? I don't know if it's stress or if I just got married. I don't know what it was. She doesn't cook, so it ain't that. Alright? Not cook. But I put a pound or two on her too. That, you know, that's alright. We like it. But you can't have both. Can't have, you know? This is what Jesus is saying. If there is, in fact, something that is more important to you than me, you're never going to be fully sold out to me. Period. This is a priority game. Jesus is not saying it's impossible to love him and love UK basketball. He's not saying it's impossible to love him and love a church. He's not saying it's impossible to love him and love money. He's saying, but when the rubber meets the road, there may be something you love more than me. Sports, vacations, spouses, children. And when the time comes and you need to choose between me and them, the choice should always be me. But it isn't always. The disciples looked even more amazed because they thought, well, who can be saved then? Jesus looked at them with man, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. But God, we all love something. We all have problems. Yeah, you do. And the sooner that you realize that, back to the rich young ruler, what must I do to have life? The sooner you amount of money you can pay, no check that you can write, no goal that you can score that will get you into heaven. Let go and let God do what God does. Peter said, well, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, no one who has left his home or his brothers or his sisters or his fields will fail to receive 100 times more. Stop bragging about all the things that you have done. I know what you have done, but we wake up tomorrow and we continue to do, because every day God blesses us. Every day God wants to honor us, but every day we find ourselves sometimes lost in those blessings. And so I never expected her to come along. You understand that? Sometimes you never expect to get a second chance. You never expect to fail and then to be able to rise again. And the gift is so wonderful sometimes that you take your eyes off of the giver and put them on the gift. It is a daily effort focusing on He who does give, He who does save, worshiping not the created, but the Creator. It's been this way since the beginning. All that was made to bring glory to God. Jesus thinks he has them. He's like, I'm making it, I'm getting it. It's starting to soak in. You know that we've been going through 4 or 5 chapters, and he's like, can you be as dumb? We preach this over and over again. Why can't they get it? That's our story, folks. They were again going up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. The disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside. Come here, guys. We're going up to Jerusalem. All right? I'm trying to get you ready for what's about to happen here. And the Son of Man will be betrayed. The chief priests and teachers of the law will do this. They will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles. They'll mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And 3 days later, he's going to rise. Do you know what reaction he gets out of it this time? Nothing. Nothing. Jesus is trying to get them to understand the single moment that's not just going to change his life, but their lives and the lives of everybody in the world. And he gets nothing. And we find out why in the next passage. Because for all the things, money, sports, girls, boys, cars, even churches, for all the things we want to focus on, there is something that's always still in the way. Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. I don't know how I got a lot of things to say about that, but if I were Jesus, I'd be like, well, first of all, we don't come to me telling me what it is we are going to do. My kid comes to me, Tayson comes to me and says, I'm going to eat a popsicle. You thought you were going to eat a popsicle, all right? But the approach was very poor, all right? The way you went about trying to receive the popsicle was very poor, hence, negative on the popsicle. Y'all with me? These guys, we want you to do whatever. You want me to what? Jesus plays coy. He does this number. Holds back because he's got more restraint than we do. And he says, what is it that you want me to do for you? Let me bless me with this announcement you're about to make, all right? Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other sit at your left. What was in the way now, folks? Self. Me. Me. Jesus announces for the third time that he's going to die, and two of his three closest brothers from another mother's are looking at each other going, I want to sit at his right. No, I want to sit at his right. You can sit on his left. Look at me. Which one of us will it be? sometimes it's not a spouse or money or a car or a job. Sometimes, and y'all have heard me say it before, it's just you. Remember Michael Jackson's theology? You look at me like, what are you talking about? Didn't know Michael Jackson was a theologian? He is.
I'm talking about the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways.
And no message could have been any clearer. You want to make the world a better place? Take a look at yourself and then make a change. You think Jesus was not breathing in on that a little bit? Preach it. Preach it, little black. White brother.
Not just in-
and every tongue will confess. Jesus showed the way. And that way is not climbing to the top, but reaching for the bottom. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom, as a payment for all the debt that you owe, for all the sin that you incurred. This perfect being came and gave all he had. For 12 people fighting for chairs. It ends with somebody getting it right. Interestingly enough, the only person who seemed to be able to see Jesus for who he really was a man who couldn't see at all. Then they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving, a blind man named Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, Bar means son of, Timaeus was his father, was sitting on the roadside begging. When he heard, not worship, not saw YouTube videos, not heard preaching, not read the Bible, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." When he heard, listen, you got to understand the irony here. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, small town, tiny town, son of a carpenter, Jesus from the countryside, Jesus the redneck. When he heard that it was Jesus the redneck, he yelled out, "Jesus, son of David, descendant of the greatest king our nation and our people have ever known. I cannot see you, but my heart longs for you, cries out for you, reaches for you. Jesus, son of this great king, have mercy on me. I don't deserve it. I can't obtain it. Whatever it is, just be more than I can be." And people rebuked him, but he cried louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and he said, "Call it." With all that's going on, there's a beggar, blind, crying out in the crowd, and Jesus stops and says, "That's the brother I'm going to hang with. That's the brother I want to get close to. Bring that brother to me." And Jesus says, "What do you want?" While the disciples are saying, "I want the best seat. I want the closest to the table. I want the biggest part of the buffet. I want the greatest cut of meat." Listen to what Bartimaeus says. "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said. "Your faith has healed you." Where's the faith? Two things. He asked for mercy. Not money, mercy. Not status, mercy. Grace is when you get something that you do not deserve. Mercy is when you don't get something that you do deserve. "I am no greater than anyone else, and I am blind for a reason. But God, if you want to take that punishment away from me, you can." Second word, rabbi. Rabbi. One I wish to follow. One I wish to learn from. One that I wish to be in his footsteps. This guy sitting on the side of the road, never having seen him, but only hearing about this carpenter from Nazareth, call him rabbi and realize that of all the people in the world that had the ability or authority according to the world to judge, only one could judge him. And he said, "Please, not only don't judge me, but offer me all that you have in you. Show me mercy. Give me sight." Your faith, not me, your faith has healed you. And immediately, Mark's favorite word, ephthys. He received his sight, listen, and followed Jesus down the road. God, thank you for my eyes. Now I shall go do all the things that I want to do. God, thank you for this money you have blessed me with. Now I will go and spend it on all the things that I desire. God, thank you for these children that you have blessed me with. Now I will go and train them in the way I think they ought to be. God, thank you for blessing me. I shall use what you've given me for my gain. No! He received his sight, and instead of going to see the Colosseum in Rome, or to see the hanging gardens of Babylon, or to see all the beautiful things that God made, no. He set his eyes on the one who gave him sight. He said, I'm going to follow that guy. Follow Jesus. The minute he could see, he returned it all to the one who gave him the gift. This is the disciples. This is the servants. These are the followers Jesus is begging for. Those willing to understand that their blessings, their talents, their time, their gifts, their service aren't theirs anyway. Your children aren't yours. They are God's, and He has set forth for you to watch out for them. Money isn't yours. Your spouse isn't yours. They belong to God, and you have been given charge over them. How will they return to Him? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. Let's pray.